Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're on Maseches Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the 10th parak Arvei Psachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a Braisa, Revi Gomer is a Hallel, Va'omer Hallel Gadol. Over the fourth cup, one completes the Hallel and recites the Great Hallel. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon, and there are those that say he recites Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. He recites Psalm 23, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Gemara asks why it's called Hallel Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mipnei Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam, Machalk Mezonos L'Kol Bria." Because this psalm relates that Hakadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. The pasuk states, "Nosen Lechem L'Kol Basar." He provides nourishment to all flesh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "What do the 26 reasons to give thanks in Hodu correspond to?" Keneged Esrim V'Shisha Dora Shabar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bo'Omo. They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that Hakadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, Torah, and he did not give them the Torah, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan makes two statements, which he proves from Psukim, about the difficulty that providing food for people involves. A man's food is twice as difficult as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth. A man's food is more difficult than the redemption, and Rosh Shivsi, in the name of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, makes a third drasha. Kashim mizonos of shaladim kakriyas yamsu. A man's food is as difficult as the splitting of yamsu. Rosh Mam explains that when a Kosh Baruch Hu provides food for someone, he's performing a miracle for that individual that is as great as the miracle of the splitting of the sea, and therefore one must daven for food. And point number three, the daf contains numerous drashas of psukim in Tehillim. Among these is the following quote from Avinasan: "The emes Hashem olam." Dagim Shibayam Amaru, and the truth of Hashem is eternal, was said by the fish in the sea. This is based on Rabba Bar Mari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yamsuf, after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, Keshem Sha'anu Oin Mitzad Echad, Kach Mitzrim Oin Mitzad Echer. Just as we're emerging from this side, so the Mitzrim are emerging from the other side. Whereupon Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptians' corpses. The sea complained, Rabon Shalom, Kum Yesh Evet Shenosin Lo Rabu Matana, Master of the Universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him? Rosh Mam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the pasuk states, V'yar Yisrael es Mitzrayim, Mesol Svasayam, and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. So when the debt was repaid through the Kishon Brook swelling 900 chariots under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, "Emes Hashem Olam," and the truth of Hashem is eternal. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, it was taught in a brace of Revi, Gomer is a Hallel, Va'omer Hallel Gadol. Over the fourth cup, one completes the Hallel and recites the Great Hallel. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon, and there are those that say he recites Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. He recites Psalm 23, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Gemara asks why it's called Hallel Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mipnei Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam, Machalk Mezonos L'Kol Bria." Because this psalm relates that Hakadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. The pasuk referred to states, "Nosem Lechem L'Kol Basar." He provides nourishment to all flesh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "What do the 26 reasons to give thanks in Hodu correspond to?" Keneged Esrim B'Shisha Dor Shabar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Omo. They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that Hakadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, Torah, and he didn't give them the Torah, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan makes two statements, which he proves from Psukim, about the difficulty that providing food for people involved. A man's food is twice as difficult as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth. A man's food is more difficult than the redemption. Rav Shizvi, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, makes a third drasha. Kashim mezonosav shel adam kakriyas yamsuf. A man's food is as difficult as the splitting of the yamsuf. The Rosh Mam explains that when a Kosh Baruch Hu provides food for someone, he's performing a miracle for that individual that is as great as the miracle of the splitting of the sea, and therefore, one must daven for food. And point number three, the daf contains numerous drashas of psukim in Tehillim. Among these is the following quote from Rabbi Nassan: "The emes Hashem olam, dagim shibiyam amaru." And the truth of Hashem is eternal was said by the fish in the sea. Now, this is based on Rabba Bar Mari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yamsuf after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, Keshem Shanu Oin Mitzad Echod, Kach Mitzrim Oin Mitzad Echer. Just as we are emerging from this side, so are the Mitzrim emerging from the other side. Whereupon Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptians' corpses. The sea complained, Ribbono Shalom, Kum Yesh Evet Shenosem Lo Rabu Matana V'Chotz V'Notu Mimenu. Master of the Universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him? Rashbam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. Hashem assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the Pasuk says, "V'yar Yisrael's Mitzrayim mesol svasa yam," and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the debt was repaid, through the Kishon Brook swallowing the 900 chariots, under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, "V'emes Hashem olam," and the truth of Hashem is eternal. All right, so now we got our Simber Daf Kuf Yud Ches, and our standard simon is Kichel, Kichel. So here goes. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels descended from the heights of the universe, upon people being redeemed as they crossed through the sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. Once again in slow motion. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels, mega-sized Kichels, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels descended from the heights of the universe, which reminds us it was taught in a Braisa. Revi Gomer is a Hallel, Va'omra Hallel HaGadol, over the fourth cup. One completes the Hallel and recites the great Hallel. These are the words of Revi Tarfon. There are those that say he recites Hashem Roli Lo Echzar. He recites Psalm 23, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Gemara asks, why is it called Hallel HaGadol? Rabbi Yochanan said, because this psalm relates to the Kadosh Baruch Hu who dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. As it says, Nos Nalechem V'chol Basar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what do the 26 reasons to give thanks in Hodu respond to? They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, and he didn't give them the Torah, Vazan Osam B'chazdo, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. So a great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels descended from the heights of the universe, upon people being redeemed as they crossed through the sea, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of statements based on Pesukim about the difficulty that providing food for people involves. A man's food is twice as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth, it's more difficult than the Geula, and more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf. So a great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels descended from the heights of the universe, upon people being redeemed as they crossed through a sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. Which reminds us, Rabbi Nassan said, "Ve'emes Hashem lo'olam, dagim shebayam amaru," and the truth of Hashem is eternal, was said by the fish in the sea. And this is based on Rabbi Barmari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yamsuf, after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, just as we're emerging from this side, so are the Mitzrayim emerging from the other side. Whereupon, Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptian corpses. The sea complained, "Rabbono Shalom, klum yesh evit shenosim rabu matana, v'chozim enotu mimenu." Master of the universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him? The Rashbam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. Hashem assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the Pasuk states, "V'yar Yisrael's Mitzrayim mesol svasa yam," and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the debt was repaid through the Kishon Brook swallowing the 900 chariots under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, "Ve'emes Hashem olam," and the truth of Hashem is eternal. So once again, a great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized Kichels descended from the heights of the universe, upon people being redeemed as they crossed through a sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Daf Kuf Yudal. So the symbol of Kuf Yudal is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park. Kiddie amusement park? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yudal. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at kiddush. Which reminds, Beis Shammai says that one says the bracha on the day kiddush first, and then he says the bracha on the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel says he says the bracha on the wine first at kiddush, and then he says the bracha on the day. A Bryce explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel each have two reasons for the position. Beis Shammai say kiddush comes first because the day causes the wine to come. Rashbam explains that it's only because it's Yantav that wine is being drunk before the meal, and the day was already sanctified before the wine came to the table. Beis Hillel say the Borei Priya Gavon comes first because the wine causes Kiddush to be said. The Rashbam explains that one cannot say Kiddush without either wine or bread. And also, Birchas Yain Tadir, Birchas Yom Eina Tadir, Tadir V'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Alternatively, the bracha over wine is frequent and the bracha over the day is not frequent. And the rule is, in a case of a frequent thing and an infrequent thing, the frequent thing comes first. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why the Mishnah requires lettuce to be brought from Maror if lettuce was already eaten for karpas, and why we do not say that the mitzvah of Maror was already fulfilled then. Reish Lakish says, Zos omeris mitzvos srichas kavana. This teaches that mitzvahs need kavana, meaning it's because the lettuce eaten as karpas was not eaten with intent to fulfill the mitzvah of maror that the mitzvah was not fulfilled, and lettuce must be eaten again specifically as maror. The Gemara dismisses this proof by suggesting a different explanation for lettuce being eaten a second time after the mitzvah mar was fulfilled during Karpas. So that there will be a distinguishing factor for the children. The Rishbam explains that eating lettuce a second time will provoke children to ask questions, as it's unusual to eat vegetables twice during a meal. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping, splashing water all over too. Cooked foods. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah statement that shnei tafshilin are brought. My shnei tafshilin, what constitutes two cooked items? Among the opinions the Gemara cites is that of Rav Yosef, who says, sarich shnei minei basar, echad zechel pesach, ve'echad zechel chagiga. One must have two types of meat. One is a commemoration of the Karban Pesach, and another as a commemoration of the Karban Chagiga. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that this is the Chagiga that was brought together with the Karban Pesach. The other views accept that Shnei Tavshilin commemorate these two Karbanas, but argue that foods other than meat also achieve this. Daf Kuf Tes Vav. So the Simur Kuf Tes Vav is a Ketoris maker. So here goes. The Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole after the table had been removed from in front of him. Once again, it's slow motion. The Ketoris maker, that must be more Daf Kuf Tes Vav. The Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, which reminds us, the Gemara says a man should not wrap matzah and maror together and eat them, because we hold the matzah is a mitzvah deraisa, even nowadays, and maror is a mitzvah derabana nowadays, in the absence of the Karban Pesach. Masi maror derabana mevatling le matzah deraisa. So if they're eaten together, the maror derabana will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. And the Gemara explains that even the manda amar, who generally holds that mitzvahs ein mevatel zo azo, mitzvahs do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah derabanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they are similar to each other in that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvahs. This isn't the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara identifies the man d'amar who holds mitzvahs ein mevatel zo azo as Hillel, who would eat the Karban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. The Gemara concludes that because the Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halakha follows, Matzah and Maror should be eaten separately with brachos, and then together without brachos, Zechu Mikdash Kehillel, as a commemoration of the base of Mikdash, according to Hillel. So the Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his Matzah and Maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, which reminds us, the Rav says, Bala Matzah Yatzah, Bala Maror Yatzah. If one swallowed matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah. But if one swallowed maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. And the Shmam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing matzah and maror whole without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah matzah, which must be simply be eaten, but not the mitzvah maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate bimaru as chayem, and they embitter their lives. If he wrapped them in baths, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that neither the matzah nor the maror are considered to have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. So the Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, after the table had been removed in front of him. Which reminds the reason to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Haggadah is Kadeshi Yakiro Tinokazi Yishawu, so the children will notice and ask about the unusual behavior. The Rosh Hashanah notes that nowadays when everyone sits together at one large table and it would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah maror and the two cooked items. And the Gemara tells of the time Abai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabbah and said, we didn't eat yet and they're coming to remove the table from before us. And Rabbah told them, Patartim Melomer Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the requirement that someone ask about the different things done in the Seder was fulfilled through Abai's question. Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the Simur Kuf Tes Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, that must be Ron Duff, Kuf Tes Zayin. The barber told his wife, who asked him for questions, which reminds the next mission states that they mix and poured for him a second cup of wine, Bechana ben Shol Aviv, and here the son asks his father. Rosh Hashanah explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with Avad Imayinu, we were slaves of Bar Mitzrayim. According to the Rosh Hashanah, there is no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The Mishnah continues, and if the son doesn't have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. And then it was taught in a Braisa, if the son's a Chacham, then he asks. If he's not, his wife asks. And if his wife doesn't ask, who shall la'atzmu? Then he asks them to himself, Ba'afilu shnei talmei chachamim shiyodim hilchas ha-pesach, and even two talmei chachamim, or proficient hilchas ha-pesach, sho'olin zeh l'zeh, must ask one another. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with their hair washed, styled, and cut. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Maschil b'gnus, Masayim b'sheva. The father begins Sipur Yetzim Mitzrayim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes it with Bnei Yisrael's glory. And the Gemara asks, what is the gnus? So Rav said, Mitchila ovde avodus gilulim hayu avosenu. We recite, originally our answers were idol worshippers, and Shmuel said, avodim hayinu. We recite, we are slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. And the Shevach would be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shevach would refer to our coming close to Kosh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, it would refer to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance. And the Haggadah contains both interpretations. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had a long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with the hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted the matzahs high, up in the air. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Gamliel would say, whoever didn't say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rashbam says that this refers to explaining the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the chiyuv Rav Gamliel was referring to is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzim Tzitzrayim. Rava said one must lift up the matzah to show it to the others when reciting the mitzvah for eating matzah, and one must lift up the maror and do the same, but basar ain't sar kol hagbio. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah of Pesach, and not only is it not required to raise the meat, but if one would do so, it would give the appearance of eating kachim that was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. Daf Kuf Yazayin, so the simran is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai, who uses many keys, gabbai using keys, that must be run Daf Kuf Yazayin. The gabbai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel, as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, which reminds us, is Malchokos regarding the origins of Hallel that we say in the Yom Tovim. Rabbi Yossi said, his son Elazar says that Moshe Ben Yisrael recited it when they ascended from the Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree and say that David and Melch recited Hallel in response to his personal experiences. He said Elazar's words are more logical than theirs, because is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until David and Melch's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their Lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And also, is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi, and the Jewish people instituted reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David and Melch's reign. So the gabbai, he uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke? Which reminds us, a Bryce explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. The David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song teaches that the Shekhinah rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song. Whereas Mizmor LaDavid, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech said the song and then the Shekhinah rested on him. From here and another pasuk that Gemara brings, we learn that the Shekhinah only rests on a person mitoch devar simcha shel mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with the mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the Rav Kenel Dvar Halacha, so it is for words of Halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. And the Gemara illustrates this with Rabbah, who used to open up his shiurim with the milsa di beduchusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards he would sit in trepidation, upasach shmaisa, and then begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, v'chen l'chalom tov, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, you should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. So the gabbai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel, as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the bracha of Avos. Which reminds us, the Gemara cites the source of the bracha of Avos. Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, the Torah states, Hashem said to Avram, Ve'eschel goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Zehu she'omrim el kei Avram. This is the pasuk that teaches that we say the God of Avram in the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'varechecha, and I'll bless you, is the source for saying el kei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. And I'll make your name great. This is the source for saying Elkei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. Yachol Yehu Chosmin B'chulan. It could be thought that we conclude the bracha with the mention of all of them, Talmud Lomar V'yeh Bracha. The Torah therefore teaches, and you, referring to Avram, shall be a bracha, which implies B'cha Chosmin V'en Chosmin B'chulan. We conclude the bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number one. Which stuff to learn the Shekhinah is only sure mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah, the joy associated to doing a mitzvah. That's on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number two. Which stuff to learn the sea was given a reward of 1.5 times for spitting the mitzvah out onto the seashore so Bnei Yisrael could see that the mitzvah were dead. That's on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number three. Which stuff to learn Rav and Shmuel regarding what is considered maschil b'gnus? That's on Daf Kuf Tezayin. Good. Number four. Which stuff do you learn the providing sustenance for someone is harder than bringing the redemption and Kriyas Yam Suf? That's on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, good number 5. What is Shaftu Malchus regarding the origins of Hal, whether Moshe and Bnei Yisrael recited it while ascending from Yansuf, or it comes from David HaMelech, that's on Dav? Kuf Yud Zayin, good, number 6. Which Dav do we have Malchus Beishon Beisol regarding which comes first at Kiddush, the Bracha on the Yom or the Yayin, that's on Dav? Kuf Yud Dalet, good, number 7. Which Dav do we have that the Matzah and the Maror is lifted, but the meat is not, that's on Dav? Kuftezayin, good, number 8. Which of the one that the 26 psukim of Hodu correspond to the 26 generations before Kabbalah Satorah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed the Bria through kindness? That's on Duff. Kufyet Ches, good, number 9. Which of the one that the son is not intelligent enough to ask Manishtana? The wife asks, or the person asks himself? That's on Duff. Kuftezayin, good, number 10. Which of the one that the matzah and mor should not be eaten together because a mitzvah is mevatel zo azo? That's on Duff. Kuftes Vav, excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one that one should daven in the midst of Simcha Shal Mitzvah? That's on Dav. Laman Aleph and Brachos, good. Number 2. Which of the one that one can wear tefillin late on Erev Shabbos? That's on Dav. Yud Beis and Shabbos, good. And number 3. Which of the we discuss Maris and Machpelah? That's on Dav. Nun Gimel and Erev, excellent. That concludes the Pav quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.